Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that's solely dedicated to the multifamily industry. I'm your host, Paul Marks, and we have a great show with wonderful guests who are experts on today's topic. And today we're discussing the topic of business planning tips for 2020, busting the budget blues. Joining me on the phone today are two multifamily veterans, apartment industry experts, and educators, Rich George, the NOI coach, and Doug Chasick, the apartment doctor. Welcome, guys.
Hi, thank you, Paul.
So, Rich and Doug, we're going to talk a little bit at the end of the show about your backgrounds, but I did say that you're educators because you both have spent a good part of your careers educating people around the country on the multifamily industry and in different facets of the multifamily industry, which makes you, in my opinion, the perfect guest to have for this topic. And I want to start off with, Rich, you when we were discussing the show earlier in the week, you were telling me that there is a difference between a business plan and a budget. And right now, at this, when we're actually taping this show, it's what the industry calls budget season, and it's when, you know, it seems like the people you need to talk to disappear, and they're, you know, in the bat cave somewhere coming up with numbers. But you indicated that's not the where you feel the emphasis should be. So tell us the difference between a business plan and a budget.
You know what, Paul, I appreciate the topic. I think that it's timely. You know, this is the time of year when everybody is. We go into the bat cave. We turn into monsters. you know, I've been in and around this industry for 30 years. I just celebrated 30 years in this industry. And, you know, I see it every year. We turn to this thing that we call the budget. It's something that we all love to hate. We hate the process of putting it together. We hate the process of living by it. We hate the process of explaining why we weren't able to meet the goals laid out. So I believe it starts with the primary function of how we look at it. You know, historically, our industry has done business one way. We've always done it the same, and we have to do something different. When we think about budgets, we think about spreadsheets. We think about an Excel spreadsheet that's filled with rows, columns, and numbers don't mean anything in isolation. So, you know, it's one of my missions in life to get our industry to stop referring to it as the budget. And it's the budget, the actual rows and columns, is a part of our overall business plan. And most of us, when we sit down to do our budget, we do the business planning, but that's something that we keep secret. And what we output are just these numbers that we live by. And, you know, as an industry, we just, I don't know, it's this thing that I think it's usually predicated on how we did last year.
Yeah, absolutely. Looking back over 43 plus years, starting out from on site, the single biggest mistake that I've experienced is that we do the budget first and then try to create a business plan to achieve the budget, when in reality, we should have a business plan and then create a budget that allows us to accomplish the goals and objectives of the business plan. The other part of the process that absolutely drives me crazy is what I call the stupid game, for lack of any better way to label it, which is when I absolutely positively need $1,000, I have to put in the budget first round $1,500, mm-hmm. and you'll come back with $500. And after we go around and around and around, maybe I'll get $850 or $900, as opposed to here's the business plan, here's what it will cost to achieve the goals and objectives of the owner. If you want to cut back on what you're willing to invest, then we need to be realistic about what we're going to accomplish. And that's the thing that always gets me, and it wears people out.
So what are the important elements of a business plan that someone needs to be thinking about prior to even starting on the budget?
Well, you know, first and foremost, about that, I'll go ahead. Well, one of the things that drives me crazy, and this piggybacks off of what Doug was just saying, is, you know, we go out there and we pad our budgets. We put 1,500 when we really only need 1,000 so that we have the, you know, this is like we're negotiating with our partners. You know, we're negotiating with our owners, and that's a ridiculous place to come from. But it's inherent in the process. And one of the other things that I wish to eliminate from our industry is we start off as regional managers, as VPs, as asset managers, and we go to the folks on site who are really the ones that have the best idea of what that budget is going to turn out to be like realistically. And we say to them, you know what, put together your wish list. It's not about what we wish for. It's about what does this business need to meet the goals, the investment goals of the owner. So, Doug, where were you about to go with that?
Well, absolutely. And when you're talking about business plan and budget, you're talking about what's the owner's goals and objectives for the asset. And our job is to either achieve those goals and objectives or to gracefully resign and let someone else step in. It doesn't work when the on-site manager, who should be the expert about the asset and the market, is separated by 2, 3, 4, 5 layers of management, never finds out what the owner's objectives are, is just given some number target without any why, and then struggles to accomplish it. We need to have the on-site folks, who are the people that actually accomplish things, be so well informed about what the owner wants, what the owner needs, that they're able to create a plan and a corresponding budget to meet those things. And it's not happening.
Does it happen anywhere? Have you seen it in all your travels? Is anybody doing it that way?
Yes, some companies are doing that way, and I don't want to offend anybody,
sure.
So I won't mention the ones that are, which I admire greatly. There are some great companies out there that walk the talk and that really have given the word empower its meaning back, where they focus on the site-level team as the most important part of the equation in terms of accomplishing things. So, yeah, there are. I shouldn't have generalized like that. However, it is my experience most often that's not the case. And Rich and I have more decades than we want to admit to of leading certification classes where we see people who, these are on-site people running 400-unit deals who don't get to see the financial statements, but they're responsible for achieving the budget. You know, who figured this one out?
Yeah, that seems...
Well, that's the whole thing. Our whole industry is predicated on this ideology. And Doug and I have seen it over the years. And, Paul, you've probably seen it, too.
Yeah.
It's those companies that are doing it right, they're the exception, not the rule. They are the difference between... There are a lot of good companies out there. There are a few great ones. And for those people that are listening to this, to be one of the great ones, you have to turn your employees into partners. And you have to have them thinking with the ideology of an asset manager. You know, it's one of the favorite programs that I teach is called Show Me the Money. And it's the journey from a property manager to an investment manager, because that's truly what we are. Property managers put butts in seats. They put bifold doors on track and they plunge the toilets and they put the butts in the boxes. An investment manager achieves the financial goals of the investment. You know, I mean, it was just absolutely flooring to me when I was 23 years old. I became a manager for the first time of an apartment community. That was, somebody sat down with me and showed me how to determine its value, and it was worth $17 million.
Mm.
You know, this is a time in my life when my weekend started on Wednesday. You know, I had no business managing $17 million for somebody, but that awakened me and it made me have that thirst for saying, if somebody's put $17 million in this, I bet they want something back. Mm-hmm. And that's all founded upon our business planning.
Yeah, you know, I it's interesting. I read something recently that in the multifamily industry that the customer for the management company is the owner. But everything revolves around the tenant or the resident and the resident's happiness, and everything revolves around that resident. So even though the client is the owner, for the management company. In order to make the owner happy, you got to make the resident happy. And, you know, it's an interesting way of looking at it that I never thought of before.
Well, you know, Paul, the reason that, you know, that old adage is the customer always right. They're not. Mm-hmm. We all know that. But that the reason that we work hard at keeping our residents happy, the reason that we make sure that we provide outstanding service, the reason that we do those things is to get them to renew, to allow us to continue to put our hand in their pocket and take out the rent. Mm-hmm. And that's the first part of it. It's the first line item of every budget, of every business plan, is the income side. So we provide customer service to protect our income.
Exactly.
But our real customer is our owner.
Yeah.
It's the investor. You know, every conversation that we have as property managers, there's somebody who wrote a check to be a part of that conversation, and there's somebody who cashed a check mm-hmm. to be a part of that conversation. As property managers, we always have to remember who we are.
All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to be back after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Tired of being burned by your carpet vendor? Nobody has you covered like Rasa Floors. They lead the industry with same-day service and cutting-edge technology, like their online ordering portal and mobile app, so you can place orders instantly. The professionals at Rasa Floors are the industry experts offering the hottest new styles of carpet and hard surfaces that will help you achieve your goals. Visit them on social media, watch their videos, and look for them at local trade shows. Rasa Floors will help you make ready your apartment homes for new residents. For more information, visit rasafloors.com.
Your property and liability insurance is one of your highest expenses. Put Ted W. Allen and Associates' 50-plus years of experience in multifamily insurance to work for you. If you have multiple properties on separate policies, you may qualify for a master policy, which can eliminate the need for multiple insurance renewals and provide you significantly lower premiums. Call Ted W. Allen and Associates at 281-378-7500. That's 281-378-7500. Or online at tedwallen.com.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
Well, we're back and you're listening to Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing the topic of business planning tips for 2020, Busting the Budget Blues. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me by phone today are two multifamily veterans, apartment industry experts and educators, Rich George, the NOI coach, and Doug Chasick, the apartment doctor. Before we get back into the conversation, I do want to let our listeners know if you'd like to provide show topics, guest ideas, or suggestions, or just listen to any archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. Rich, one of the things that we talked about when we were discussing this topic was we've talked about in the first segment, the difference of a business plan versus budgeting and, you know, what comes first, the chicken or the egg. But what are some business planning tips and ideas that our listeners could take advantage of?
You know, Paul, I think that we could probably spend the next 3 days talking about tips, but they're going to be very specific. At the end of the day, it's a process that we need to get everyone engaged in. I think the number one tip, and I'm sure you'd agree with this, Doug, is that this is not something that a regional manager does in our central office or a regional office, crammed into an office for 5 days, and when they turn into a troll and do it all in isolation and do it all from past history reports. Doug, what would you say to that?
Yeah, absolutely. All NOI is local. When you have the regional manager and the vice president of property management and the owner and the on-site manager together in a room, the on-site manager should be smarter than everybody else. If they're not, you got the wrong person running the asset. So you've got to have somebody on site who knows what's going on. You know, back in the 80s when I was with Johnstown and the bottom fell out of everything, I had just a tremendous number of apartment communities, and we were all suffering from the shift in the tax laws from generating tax write-offs to generating this strange thing called cash flow. And it seemed like all of my regions were suffering except for the Miami region. And so I went down there, I met the regional, and we started talking. And I said, well, how come you guys are doing so well while all the other regions aren't? And we spoke for probably a half hour or so, and this particular person couldn't identify what was working down there that wasn't working everywhere else. And that's where I came up with the theory of that asking this question is, here's a tip, ask this question. Is your asset successful because of you or in spite of you? Because if your asset is successful in spite of you, whenever the economy changes, the asset's going to change. When your asset is successful because of you, then you are in control. And that, to me, is the biggest tip for supervisors, regionals, VPs, is having somebody on site at the asset who is in control, who is the expert. And, yeah, you're going to pay a little bit more for that person. But think about the return on your investment.
How difficult of a
moment? It makes me think of a quote that I heard from Marshall McLuhan. He said, you know, if you can't trust the person looking after your assets, then they shouldn't be doing the job. And we've spent generations not trusting the people that are working on the assets. Empowerment is critical to the success of any investment strategy. And again, that's what we're talking about here. Not just budgets. We're talking about business plans, which are based off of financial strategies that we implement. The budget is the roadmap that keeps us on course to ensure that the strategy that we're implementing is being effective.
You know,
I'm going to go out on a limb here and go back to your story that when you had the keys to a $17 million asset, you probably had to contact the home office before you could comp a resident $100 because of a bad resident experience.
Oh, absolutely. I had to call. I truly thought that my regional on the other end of the phone had one of those magic 8-balls. And when I would call to ask questions, they lifted it up off their desk, they shook it, and they were like, it looks a little cloudy today. Ask again tomorrow. You know, that's how I thought decisions were made. I didn't think that they were every problem that we have in our business, every problem that we have, every time you walk into a vacant apartment that's got carpet and you look at it and you have to make that decision, do I clean it, do I replace it? You know, and you scratch the side of your head. Everybody in our business needs to understand that's not a judgment call. That's a math problem.
Mm-hmm.
That's
exactly.
All that is. It's a simply math problem. We know how much a day of vacancy costs. We know how much it costs to clean the carpet. We know how much it costs to replace the carpet. Given all of that, we know how long it's going to take to rent it with clean carpet versus how long it's going to take to rent it with new carpet. So if we have all of that, it's a math problem. And that's how when I called up my boss and said, hey, I think we should replace the carpet in building 14. And they said no, or they said why, and I'd say because it's ugly. That wasn't an answer. I'd say we need to replace the carpet in building 14 because you know what? We've got 3 vacant apartments in that building, and they're starting to age. And every time I show them, that carpet is affecting whether or not we can rent it. So we've got 3 days vacant for every one of those apartments every day, which the math is, and here's the return on investment of the $9,000 that we need to spend to replace that carpet. Whatever, you see where I'm going with that?
Yeah, I do.
I think that's what our people, Paul, they need to be looking at is we're not putting together that wish list. Because truly, if I was just doing my wish list, I don't even do that in my own personal home.
Yeah,
I don't think about what I want. I think about what I need.
So
once that is fulfilled, then I can think about what I want.
So let me pose a question to you and at least tell you what I see. When I go to a property, many times I will see, when I'm asking a question of the on-site team, you know, they almost seems like they live in fear of going up the ladder to ask a question or to do something. Just like you said, you know, you had to call for $100 carpet cleaning to get the regional to approve it. That's the mindset. That's the way. And when you and also, I would think that when you have a apartment manager on site who gets it, who understands it, that all they're not going to be there long because they're, and many times they're going to be moved up the ladder to take the position of a regional or whatever it might be. So, the question is, how do you put in place in an organization? What are your ideas for how to put in place exactly what you're talking about, where you empower your on-site team, but yet, you know, they're going to be there for a while.
Well, you know what, Paul, you and I have talked about it before. In fact, I did one of your shows. So it's one of the books that I mm-hmm. wrote about the 12 C's of an exceptional leader. But the other book I wrote is Hire the Best, Ditch the Rest. Mm-hmm. Truly, if we cannot trust the people that are managing our $17 million assets, that's the core problem. I don't care what kind of business plan you make. I don't care what kind of budget you make. Because here's the problem. If you budget for 3 refrigerators per month, you need to have people on site that are executing that budget. And if they only need one refrigerator, they only buy one. But the mentality for many is, hey, there were 3 budgeted, so let's buy them, whether we need them or not. And obviously, that's not being an owner's advocate. Doug alluded to this before about, you know, that customer service mentality. And Paul, you did too, about, you know, the customer, the resident's not our only customer. You know, that journey from a property manager to being an investment manager is also the journey from being a resident advocate to being a owner's advocate. Mm-hmm. That's who we are. We advocate for the best interest of the owner. And the best interest of the owner is just because the budget said we have it to spend doesn't mean we have to spend it.
Right.
Doug, what are your thoughts about that?
Well, it reminds me of some of the government spending where by the time as we approach the end of the fiscal year, people are running around trying to figure out how to spend their budget because if they don't spend it, they lose it. And you're absolutely right. It's about just changing the basic ground of being. I think it starts with how we hire. And, you know, Rich, you've heard me talk oftentimes about hire for attitude, train for skill. And that is still not the standard operating procedure in our industry. I talk to so many people who are still in the model of 3 to 5 years experience and then being frustrated as they unbrainwash the new employee and rebrainwash them as opposed to hiring someone who's got the right attitude, who's a lifelong learner, who self-generates, who's a self-starter, who's a critical thinker. And no offense, but how hard is it to teach somebody the things we do? I remember somebody once saying that property management is about doing the same 200 things every day over and over and over again and being able to be excited about it. What we do is not rocket science. How we do it is where the rocket science comes in. And in order to be a customer advocate, I agree, but I also think sometimes we are our customer as the resident advocate. Sometimes our customer is our boss and we're advocating for them. And always the customer is the owner and we're advocating for them. However, there are certain things that after 40 plus years in front of a room, I still don't know how to teach. I don't know how to teach somebody how to be self-generating. I don't know how to teach somebody to give a hoot about what they're doing. I know how to teach them how to do it. What we've got to do is hire people we trust, share the why, and then teach the how. That's what we need to do.
All right. We're going to take a break. We're going to be back after these messages, and we're going to jump back into that conversation. I've got a few questions. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Your Your property and liability insurance is one of your highest expenses. Put Ted W. Allen and Associates' 50-plus years of experience in multifamily insurance to work for you. If you have multiple properties on separate policies, you may qualify for a master policy, which can eliminate the need for multiple insurance renewals and provide you significantly lower premiums. Call Ted W. Allen & Associates at 281-378-7500. That's 281-378-7500. Or online at tedwallen.com.
Tired of being burned by your carpet vendor? Nobody has you covered like Rossa Floors. They lead the industry with same-day service and cutting-edge technology, like their online ordering portal and mobile app, so you can place orders instantly. The professionals at Rossa Floors are the industry experts offering the hottest new styles of carpet and hard surfaces that will help you achieve your goals. Visit them on social media, watch their videos, and look for them at local trade shows. Rossa Floors will help you make ready your apartment homes for new residents. For more information, visit rossafloors.com.
Looking for cost savings and curb appeal? Call WaterLogic, the nation's specialist in multifamily property water management. Using interactive, smart water technology, WaterLogic's professionals can help you save up to 40% on irrigation water annually, potentially adding tens of thousands of dollars back into your budget. Call WaterLogic at 713-983-9555 for a no-cost irrigation usage analysis. Your property will look great, and you'll be a hometown hero.
We're back, and you're listening to Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing the topic of business planning tips for 2020, busting the budget blues. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me by phone today are two multifamily industry apartment veterans, educators. We've got Rich George, the NOI coach, and Doug Chasick, the apartment doctor. I do want to take a moment and thank our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. E-Conserve, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. Rossa Floors, the flooring professional, specializing in make-ready replacement flooring for the multifamily industry throughout Texas and Oklahoma. WaterLogic, the smarter way to water, providing professional irrigation water management. And Ted W. Allen & Associates, specializing in multifamily habitational insurance since 1967. So, guys, we were talking last segment about, we were into the segment talking about trying to get that mindset right of your the people you hire on site, and where do you find somebody that has the kind of mindset that you're discussing? How do you find somebody? I'm sure if it was easy, everybody would be doing it. But over the years, what have you seen people do that, and what's been successful?
You know, when just because something is easy doesn't mean it's obvious. My assertion is we're surrounded by those people. We're just not recognizing them. Every time you go into a restaurant, every time you go to a hotel, every time you go to a brick and mortar retail store, there are people who are all about the customer experience. And when you remove that requirement of 3 to 5 years experience in multifamily, then you've got this giant universe of people, the people that we're dealing with when we go to eat, when we go to shop, when you drop off your dry cleaning, when you bring, I mean, they're all out there. And I also believe, and I'm on the other side of the table these days as an educator and not as an operator, but I believe as an operator, when you do an appropriate job of promoting yourself and your company, that those people will find you because they are looking for the environment in which they can prosper.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think Doug said something there that really resonated with me when he said that, you know, we're surrounded by people. And, you know, I think he was referring to when we go out to eat, when we go to wherever we go in the service industries, we're surrounded by people that are those people that might have the right attitude to parrot what Doug said. We can train for the skill, but I also believe that you're surrounded by them in your office currently. The problem is that I think as leaders in our industry, we are not enabling people to grow. And that goes beyond just providing education. Doug and I are both educators. We're both senior faculty members for the National Apartment Association.
we'd love to see you in our classrooms. But beyond that, give people an environment where they will succeed. Give them an environment. And, you know, as I learned so many things from raising my daughters. And that is that the moment I stop micromanaging, the moment I stop telling them how to do what they're doing, what to do, all I arm them with is why we do what we do. They'll figure out a much better how, because you know what? They're good people at their core. And I know some people listening to this, you're thinking about somebody in your office, you're thinking they're not good people at their core. Maybe that's somebody you have to get rid of. But all in all, the monsters that we are surrounded with, for some of you that feel that way, are the monsters that we created. By telling people, you know what, I know that I hired you, I wanted to know about how you know, how smart you were and how good you were. But then when you came to work, I said, don't worry your pretty little heads over that. I don't pay you to think, I pay you to do. And when we treat people that way, that's the result we get.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly not to create a nurturing environment for someone to grow, which you said is important. So,
yeah, there's a lot of great people in our industry. Doug and I have the fortune of being able to travel the country week after week after week, and we meet these people. I was actually just down in El Paso a couple of weeks ago and got to meet quite a few. I just got a call. I was hoping I might be able to come back to Houston, right there in your market, in neck of the woods, Paul. But unfortunately, I've got a conflict the week that HAA wanted to bring me down in November. So, but I'll be back soon. I'll be back there soon.
Wonderful. I want to switch the topic for a minute and talk a little bit about, you know, we've already established that a budget is not a standalone thing. It needs to be first part of a business plan. And when we're talking about a business plan, I would think an important element of that would be the fact that, you know, what is the outlook for the industry in the market where obviously the asset is located, but nationally, what's you know, what do you guys see is going to happen nationally, and how does someone need to take that in consideration as far as in their market, what's going to be happening with the market that they're in or the submarket that they're in, and how do they put that into their business plan and ultimately their budget?
Doug, I'm gonna invite you to go first because I'm anxious to hear your answer to that question.
I think, you know, taken in the context that for the last decade or so, my focus has been more on fair housing issues than it has been on NOI. Generally speaking, though, my gut feel is we have reached the peak of this cycle, and we have to remember that real estate is cyclical. What goes up must go down, and we'll go back up again. I think we have peaked, and we're starting to go on the downslope. And I think that the situation is going to be exacerbated by the shortage, what is now becoming a critical shortage of affordable housing, and by the efforts of many governments, you know, state governments, city governments, to try to shift the burden of providing affordable housing to the private sector through various incentives, as well as through strengthening different regulations about development, and even creating more stricter fair housing regulations that prevent us from qualifying people based on what we thought was good, sound business judgment to protect the asset, to protect the other residents. And now we're being pressured in many areas. I'm seeing challenges to credit history checks. I'm seeing challenges to income requirements. We are painfully aware of the challenges to criminal background checks, all in the name of disparate impact. So I see it being a tougher regulatory environment, and I don't see it getting better anytime soon, coupled with a downturn and with all the uncertainty we have right now. How do you make a business plan for a year from now? Granted, we're not directly impacted by some of what's going on, but it absolutely impacts us in terms of spending power, employment. So it is very, very difficult right now. I am being pragmatic. I'm not a pessimist, but I think the worst is yet to come.
How about you, Rich?
You know, Paul, I have to agree with Doug on a lot of what he said, and to expand upon that, I think that, you know, if you look at the statistics that are out there, first of all, we have to realize that we are a $1 trillion industry. That's trillion with a T. Mm-hmm. It is a big deal. So when Doug was talking about we're not affected by those industries, but we are effective on our industries. You know, right there in Houston, Paul, you guys have got probably one of the most dramatic examples of the real estate cycle over the last 30 years. You know, mm-hmm. the ups and downs, the peaks and the valleys. And I agree with Doug. I believe that we've hit a peak, and I think we're headed down. How far we go, I think, has a lot to do with what we do as managers. You know, there's all kinds of statistics that say that we are going to be 3.6 million households short in the multifamily sector by 2025, which sounds like a great thing. That means build, 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 build. However, just because that's what the statistics say that we are going to need as a society, I also know that almost every market I've gone to in 2019 is starting to enter concessionary times. Mm-hmm. People are giving out concessions. They're giving out 1 month free, going up to 2 months free, and as an industry. And it's a really, really bad problem. I know it's happening right there in Houston. I know that it's happening everywhere I've been. And so that's counterintuitive to what they're saying that we need. But Doug hit the nail on the head when he said, what we have a lack of is affordable housing. Mm-hmm. Because everything that we're building is this tremendous A product. Nobody is building, not nobody, but very few people are building for the middle market. Mm-hmm. Very few people are building. And ultimately what that just means is we're going to build nice stuff. And what was our nice stuff yesterday is going to have to serve the middle market, which is going to deflate rents, which is going to, you know, when somebody shakes the trees, the weak will fall out. And I think as we enter this budget season, we have to keep that in mind. I don't think that we need to budget for concessions. I think we need to budget for how are we going to be better? Because the theory is if there's 10,000 apartment homes in a submarket and there's only 8,000 renters, all things being equal, we should be 80% occupied. But you know what? All things aren't equal. Mm-hmm. How are we going to be 20% better than our competitor and not have to play the concession game?
Yeah, there you go.
And if we don't choose concessions, then you might find that it's chosen for you in the form of rent control.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
Absolutely.
We're gonna take a break and be back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamilies right after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Tired of being burned by your carpet vendor? Nobody has you covered like Rasa Floors. They lead the industry with same-day service and cutting-edge technology, like their online ordering portal and mobile app, so you can place orders instantly. The professionals at Rasa Floors are the industry experts offering the hottest new styles of carpet and hard surfaces that will help you achieve your goals. Visit them on social media, watch their videos, and look for them at local trade shows. Rasa Floors will help you make ready your apartment homes for new residents. For more information, visit rasafloors.com.
Your property and liability insurance is one of your highest expenses. Put Ted W. Allen and Associates' 50-plus years of experience in multifamily insurance to work for you. If you have multiple properties on separate policies, you may qualify for a master policy, which can eliminate the need for multiple insurance renewals and provide you significantly lower premiums. Call Ted W. Allen and Associates at 281-378-7500. That's 281-378-7500. Or online at tedwallen.com.
We're back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing the topic of business planning tips for 2020. Busting the Budget Blues. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me by phone today are two multifamily veterans, apartment industry experts, and educators, Rich George, the NOI coach, and Doug Chasick, the apartment doctor. Guys, we were kind of talking during the break a little bit about NOI and why that's so important, and as a matter of fact, why it's the number one indicator of success of a business plan or a budget. So tell us a little bit about, Rich, about NOI. I know that's something that you talk about a lot, since that's part of your business that you do. Why is it important in this industry, and how is it measured?
It's a great question, Paul. And I know you saved this question for last because you figured if I started talking about NOI, you know, both of us on this call, you've got a couple of NOI guys. It's funny because as industry educators, there's so many people that have never touched this topic. You know, Doug used to publish a newsletter for many, many years called NOI News. Mm-hmm. I've taken the moniker of NOI Coach. And there's a reason behind that, because you know what? A lot of people think, oh, it's the cash flow that matters. And cash flow is important. But at the end of the day, all of the assets that we manage, when I said earlier that I was shown how to figure out the value of that property I was managing when I was 23 years old, that was $17 million. It's a factorial of NOI. That's where we did arrive value. So when NOI goes up, value goes up. When NOI goes down, value goes down. And if I'm an investment manager, not a property manager, then NOI is the number that I manage for. Mm-hmm. And for those of you that are not real comfortable with the concept of NOI, it's simply income minus our day-to-day expenses, our non-unique expenses. It's commonly referred to as the line. You know, sometimes we have what's an above-the-line expense or a below-the-line expense, and that's the difference between an operating expense and a capital expenditure. But NOI is critical. And as you build your budgets, that's what everyone must be looking at, is what impact are we going to have on NOI? I believe that budgets are important, but more importantly, the best indicator of success is how we are doing on a same-store basis in comparison to ourselves the same time last year. Because it takes out of the equation some of the stuff we talked about before the break of where the economy is taking us. Because truthfully, as our economy changes, as the, you know, the landscape or the outlook of multifamily changes, good property managers will not use that as an excuse. They're not going to come back and say, oh, yeah, well, you know, we're tanking this year because that's what everybody's doing. I don't care what everybody else is doing. Mm-hmm. How can I beat myself? How can I continue to improve on what I do? And that's the difference, again, that conversation we had before the break, as well as good employees are great employees. They're competing with themselves. They're not looking for excuses in life.
So one of the important things, I mean, you mentioned, you know, good NOI increases the value, and a bad NOI or would decrease the value. We're specifically, or one way we're talking about that or referring to that is that if a property decides, owner decides they want to market the property and put it up for sale, the value is going to be decided by a multiple of that NOI. Obviously, positioning a property for sale at any time in a very volatile market when you don't know who's going to walk in the door with an offer, keeping that NOI performance where it needs to be is important to protecting and increasing the value of the property. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, it's funny because Doug was referring earlier to managing properties back in the 80s during the savings and loans crisis, back when the world changed for our business, when they changed the tax laws. And we're on the cusp of that again. And what's funny is the housing crisis that we went through back in 2007, 2008, it really was a crisis of credit, was the exact same thing, only it hit consumers instead of hitting the investor. When you talk, Paul, about, you know, the being able to sell the properties, more importantly, we're going to be coming into a time, and I hate to predict this because, you know, it's just one of those things that you don't want to, you know, you don't want to call a foul ball, right? But I believe that we're coming into a time where even if your owners are not looking to sell, they are going to be looking to refinance,
right?
Because they've got short-term debt. many of them have put their deals on 3 or 5 or 7 year debt. And when it comes due, they have to have the NOI that will support the value at that moment in time. And I've seen so many deals go south simply because somebody had a debt structure on a property that was not sustainable because management didn't do a good job of sustaining and building the NOI.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is something that we see a tremendous amount of, and that's the refinancing that's going on right now, and for a lot of different reasons, as far as things that people are offering or institutions are offering for that financing.
Banks are at this point where interest rates have been so low for so long that banks can't lock their money in on 30-year deals. For those of you that have long-term debt, congratulations. Enjoy it. Write it. It's going to be a good thing. But for everybody else that's writing the short-term debt, it's going to get ugly, and you have to be prepared. You can't over-leverage. You can't, as property managers, a lot of people say, well, that kind of goes above my pay grade. That's an owner's decision. But, man, if you're not involved with it, you'll still pay the price for it. So you need to understand it.
Yeah, just to drive that one home, a very wise person once told me that when you are a multifamily professional, it doesn't matter what the title on your business card says, your job description is the same: to maintain and enhance the value of the asset. And the way that we measure that is through NOI. That's it. NOI is king.
Question for both of you. How many property managers do you think on-site property managers understand what their NOI is at a given time? Do most of them know that?
I would be shocked if it was more than 60%.
I still walk in front of a room, Paul, and have people come up to me and say, what's NOI? Because my title is NOI coach. But here's what I will tell you, though. I can tell you anybody that sat through a class with Doug or myself, mm-hmm. they walk out not only knowing what their NOI is, but why it's important.
Yeah.
We as an industry, we have to stop measuring the metrics that don't matter. Occupancy is a metric that does not matter. Economic occupancy absolutely matters, right? Mm-hmm. We need to look at the profitability and the stuff that, at any given class, I could say, how many of you know what your occupancy is today? How many know what it'll be, can project what your occupancy will be in 30 days? Everybody does that with great pride. Mm-hmm. And I'll say that doesn't matter. How many of you know today what your economic occupancy is and what trend line it's on for 30 days from now? Because mm-hmm. if you don't know that, if you're listening to the show and you don't know that, you're not doing your job. That's what you need to go fix today. That's what you need to understand, because occupancy is about butts in boxes, whereas economic occupancy is about money in the bank. And without money in the bank, your paycheck won't cash next week. Mm-hmm. It truly is that important.
Well, I want to just we're coming to the end of this segment, and I want to give each of you a chance to tell our audience how you got started in the business. I always ask that question, and many times there's some fascinating answers. So, Doug, why don't you start?
Well, let's see. I went to school, majored in religion and philosophy because I thought I wanted to be an instructor in college. I discovered I was making more money playing the drums in a band than college professors made. So I left school and ended up realizing that I was not the next Neil Peart. So I went to work for Herman's World of Sporting Goods and got married and divorced, moved into an apartment community, 524-unit swinging singles community in Coram, Long Island. This is back in the 70s. And they were advertising for social director, somebody who would book bands and set up transcendental meditation on Sunday mornings with bagels and coffee. And this place had a fully licensed bar on premises, mm-hmm. 8 clay tennis courts, 2 Olympic-sized swimming pools. And I was like, sign me up. One day, Brenda, whose last name shall remain anonymous, who was the manager, who was from West Virginia, came into the office, stormed into the office. And even though I'm a worldly guy, it was the first time I had ever heard anyone construct entire sentences simply by using the F word and New Yorkers. and packed up her desk in one of those cardboard banker boxes and put it in her truck and left, never to be seen again. About 3 days later, the regional VP came up from Baltimore, interviewed everybody on site, and for reasons passing understanding to this day, offered me the position of manager. And spent 5 years on site, 3 years there, then 2 years running a 949-unit deal in Connecticut, became a regional, became a regional VP, became president of a couple of companies, and moved around the country, ended up really being able to pursue my passion, which is education. Was on the IREM National Faculty for 8 years teaching the CPM courses, and have been involved with NAA for decades. And as Rich mentioned earlier, he and I and Sue Weston have the privilege of leading the NAAEI Advanced Facilitator Training Workshop, which is a intensive 3-day workshop for people who want to facilitate the presentation of the NAAEI education content, CAM, CAPS, mm-hmm. CAMT, et cetera. I think at last count, the three of us had led, I don't know, Rich, what did we say, like 55 or 60 of them?
Yeah.
And they still let us show up.
So, Rich, we've got a little bit over a minute left. Go ahead and tell us a little bit about how you got started. And also, if someone wanted to talk to you about what you're doing now, how can they reach you?
You know what, Paul, I appreciate the opportunity of being here today. Last Wednesday, a week ago, less than a week ago, represented 30 years ago that I started in this business as a groundskeeper on an apartment community in Troy, Michigan. And now today, having worked my way through almost every possible position with our industry, all the way up to CEO, today I'm an investor. Today I own apartment homes, and I'm the NOI coach. So people can find me at NOIcoach.com. You can also get copies of my books there. Doug and I have partnered in a group called ApartmentDoors.com, and we'd love to maybe come back and find another opportunity to spend some time with you, and we can talk about talent development as it relates to the apartment industry through ApartmentDoors.com.
That'd be great. That'd be great. Love to have you back on. Guys, thank you so much for coming on today. Great topic, great discussion. We're going to be back next Friday, and each Friday, at 10 a.m. right here on 1110 a.m. KTEK. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.